Which is Money and Giving. Please welcome Wayne and Bev Hill, Heather Ann Braun, Rem Vlasblom, and Joffrey Aniker. Now, I've asked each of you to open with a joke because it's obviously comedy time. So are you ready with your jokes? First of all, again, I want to say thank you to each one of you when I reached out and said, hey, would you talk to me about how your giving to Open the Door went. I knew that you might get a little nervous because it's not something we like to talk about openly, but this is part of our life of following Jesus's generosity and using our money, so thank you. I won't be revealing the amount that these people have given. In fact, I don't know how much they have given to this project over the past few years, and it really doesn't matter because the way God talks to us is that we give generously how he calls us. I'm going to start with you, Bev. As you and Wayne, over these past 3 years, have given faithfully to this project, what have you seen God do in your lives as you have given? Oh, and we got to share some mics. Here's one. Sorry.
Thank you. When Wayne and I decided we were going to wholeheartedly support the Open the Door campaign, we asked God separately what he wanted us to pledge together. When we came together to discuss what we had heard, we discovered we heard the same number. That was our affirmation, and we proceeded in confidence knowing that what he had asked us to give, he would also supply. It's hard to believe 3 years have passed, and I can, in all honesty, say that not once in the past 3 years have we ever missed our pledge or crimped on our tithe to cover our pledge, nor have we not been able to keep our other monthly commitments. God the Father will never be in our debt. His provision has always been there at the beginning of every month, and it is always more than enough. We are his hands and his feet. He blesses our lives by giving us the privilege of taking part in the large and small ways of his kingdom work. Offer what you have with an open heart and an open hand. He'll do so much more with it than you could ever think to even ask. I am his, and he is mine. This is what the Lord says. I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill. And in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. There will be showers of blessing. In this way, they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. And my flock, the sheep of my pasture, you are the flock, the sheep of my pasture. You are my people, and I am your God. That's taken from Ezekiel 34, 26, 30 to 31. In the New Living Translation.
All right, if you want to pass it to your left there, Bev. Heather Ann, there's this verse in Malachi where God challenges his people to test him by seeing if, you know, they give, whether or not he would pour out more than enough blessing for them to meet their needs. And in our conversation, you commented to me that you don't really know over this past few years whether you really tested God in any significant way. So I'm just wondering if you could explain that to me and to the rest of us listening in.
Yeah, we'll just dive right into that one, shall we? for sure. One of the things that I remember feeling at the start of this project was how big it was and, like, whoa, how long this is going to take. And yet here we are, as has already been mentioned, right? So as I look back over the last 3 years and did some soul searching and thinking, I realized that even though I was giving faithfully, I don't think that I was giving as sacrificially as God was calling me to in all parts of the project. So God is gracious. I am forgiven. That verse that you referenced in Malachi talks about test me in this and see whether or not I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven. And God is very gracious. I have seen him throw open the floodgates, even in this process of giving. And I also think of the verse that talks about, test me, or I will test you in little. If you're faithful in little, I will trust you with much, right? So, but there's still a sense as I look back of thinking, God did throw open the floodgates, but how much more would he have, or could he have, and will he throw open the floodgates as I continue to test him? So honestly, that's been one of the lessons for me over the last 3 years.
Thank you. Rem, so you surprised me a little bit when I asked if you would share. You said, Jason, I don't know if you want to know this, but I actually wasn't in support of this project when we first started out, which made me real nervous about inviting you onto the platform. So why weren't you stoked about doing a renovation project like this?
The big thing was the cost, and not so much that I didn't want to contribute to the building, but the price tag like that, I was really worried that the money that went to the building would get taken away from other stuff that we do, such as, you know, lifting people out of poverty, spreading the gospel around the world, that kind of stuff. I have this like sort of secret thing that I'd like to do, or sort of fantasize someday, as just give it all up and then worship underneath a banquet tent with lawn chairs and an overhead projector, and then just give everything else, you know, to where it needs to go, whether it's the third world or the inner city. So yeah, I had to have this little confession that I didn't actually vote yes okay. to the project.
So does that fantasy take place in Florida or Cancun?
Yeah, there's some logistical issues that we'd have to overcome, but more important than my secret little vision for how to worship is that we pull together, that we act in unity as a group. So before I cast my vote, and before I knew what the outcome was, that Mel and I got together and we said, okay, whichever way this thing goes, we're going to support it. And that's what we did.
Okay, so now we're here, and I know there's not a long run up, but you haven't had a chance to see too much yet, but you're seeing some things unfold here. You're seeing a little bit about what life is like here. What are your thoughts now that we're done this project?
Well, the most important thing is that, like, when you see the numbers, what people have pledged, and the giving that's still happening at the church and in the community and around the world, is that my concern was totally unfounded. Like, the money that we're sending overseas and to, like, inside of our community to help people that really need it, it's still happening. So I was totally out to lunch with that, and that's like such an awesome thing to be able to witness, right? And then the other part is, I think part of it, I didn't see the whole open the door thing. I thought it was just going to be like nicer stuff for us to have. But like you pointed out, like the people that are coming in, the way this place is getting used, we're 2 months in. And every time I've been here, there's been something going on. And that's awesome, you know, whether it's little kids running around for moms and tots, or in the evenings, there's youth, there's fellowship, there's disciples, like everything. There's always something out going on. Half the time, there's more than one thing. So it's happening, and we're just back here.
Okay. Thanks, Rem. Wayne, you've been around a little longer than Rem, so you've seen a lot of things go on under this roof. How are you feeling? What are you seeing now that we've begun ministry in our new place here? What are your eyes telling you?
Well, as I drive by and see the building and have a look at it, and it's an awesome looking building, and I think from what's happening in the church, it's a very functional, with the extra rooms in the back and the room for Sunday school and stuff. And
I think we're running out of battery, Wayne. Let's try it.
So.
Let's try this one here. Thanks.
To see, and I'm not in town very much during the day, but to drive by and see the parking lot full, or not full necessarily, but lots of vehicles in here, and see the building being used, I think it's really neat. It's a very inviting building that I see. And I hope as we move forward in this building and we see what's happening, that as people come in, for services or for a meeting, a non-church meeting, that when they leave the place, they can say, that was neat. There was something a little different about that building. What was it? And my prayer is that the people who are the church and the building may be inviting, and they can go away saying, there was something different about it. What was that? I feel like going back. And as we sang this morning, may that be the Holy Spirit filling this place.
Thank you. Heather Ann, you told me that contributing to the project changed the way you think and feel about the ministry of the church itself. How so? Sorry, Wayne, we've got to pass it around.
I think because of being involved in this project, I feel more of a sense of ownership, and so of the mission and the vision of living missionally and of missional discipleship, right? So, and the open the door part of this campaign will never be finished as long as there are people in Cochrane who don't know Jesus. And I think just being a part of it from the beginning is really given the time for that to really sink in. And just to jump off what Wayne was saying, just having the space to host people, right? And having versatile space for so many different types of groups, right? It's not just this room, it's tons of other spaces and places around this building that I think really have grown our potential to reach out and to be the church, both in the sense of the people and of the building, as you were saying. And having that mindset about this space and about this project has also helped to remind me to have that mindset in my life throughout the week, too. It's not just when I'm in this building. It's when we're out of this building as well.
Okay. Joffrey, we've neglected you here. But a few weeks ago, you came up to me and said that your heart was stirred about some of the costs that remain outstanding for this project. Having been through this over the past 3 years, participating in it as one of those who are giving, what would you say to someone who is wondering whether or not they should get involved in a financial campaign like this? What would you say to them?
When I first had heard the number that was brought forward of the 84, I guess it was 85, 80, I thought I heard 85 first, but $8,400 just to meet the interest payment, I began to think about it. I thought, just on a personal level, I thought that was just a tremendous amount of money to have to be committed to meet on a month-to-month basis. And then as I began to think of how the commitment of the last 3 years had been spread out over 148 people, and then I started to do some math in my head and realized that $8,500 to meet the interest payments wasn't that formidable. And as I began to crunch the numbers, it worked out that if it was spread over 200 people, it would be less than $50 a month. And then I thought about, well, I get a credit card statement at the month, and it says on the bottom, if you make the minimum payment of $10.15 or whatever it is, that it'll take you 4.5 years to pay off this $800 or $900. And so I just thought that this amount of money that we now have to meet the commitment to pay, which is basically the mortgage payment. We have nicely handled the down payment, and now we are living in our new house. But we have the commitment of the mortgage payment to make, and it sounds like a lot of money. 2.4 million is that, or 2.8, or, but spread over the over many hands to contribute, it's a doable thing. And it's a doable thing not only because it's spread over many hands, it's a doable thing because God will provide.
All right. Thank you all for sharing. I wonder if you could thank these folks for sharing.